Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we are here again, O Father. We know that the entrance of your word bring light and give us understanding into how to go about our lives. Therefore, God, even this morning, we are asking that God, let your word enter into our life in the mighty name of Jesus. We know that when your word enters into people's life, their life gets changed for the better. Their lives get transformed. God, we are asking that, Lord, that each and every one of us, as we are even sitting in this auditorium this morning, that, Lord, your word will enter into our life, and there will be a transformation in our life in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we believe in your word, and we know that, God, you will do us good today. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. There is this song we used to sing here, I don't know whether we know it, that spoke about the fact that I may know him. Hallelujah. That I may know him. I don't know whether there is anyone that knows how to sing that song here. That I will know him, that I will know him, that I will know him. Unfortunately, I'm not the best of singers. I can't take it beyond that. I was thinking that someone is going to rescue me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to briefly, trusting and knowing that is what God wants to share with his church this morning, onto what I call knowing God, the essence or the object of our being. Praise the Lord. Knowing God, the object and the essence of our being. And I'm picking my theme from the book of... We're going to actually look at two ones. We're going to first go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 9. And we're going to read from verses 23 to 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 to 24. Praise the Lord. If you are there, you can actually read for us. I'm trying to look for my own. Unfortunately, I don't seem to be able to read my Bible anymore. Jeremiah chapter 9. If you are there, you can read from us. For us, 23 to 24. Thank you very much, Ma. That was a very clear one. Hallelujah. Now, you will see that when Prophet Jeremiah was writing there, he was saying that your pride should not be about what? About what you have or the material, your material being. But what? Your pride should be what? The fact that you do what? You know God. Hallelujah. For emphasis, maybe I should read it again. If you didn't hear that, it says, but let him that gloried in this, that he hath understanding and know me. Hallelujah. It says that for your pride, that the only thing that should be your pride is the fact that you know God and you have understanding unto who God is. Hallelujah. You will see that people who have been able to live a life that really shows or radiates the glory of God, they are people who have a deep knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. No wonder when God looked at the world at the time and he lamented. And what was his lament? It was like, my people perished because of what? Because of lack of knowledge. The people of God, they are suffering. They are growing through obstacles or problems because they don't do what? They don't know God. Hallelujah. It is my prayer this morning that as a church, as a people, for this year, we will be we will begin to experience God. We will graduate to a mental level with God, where we'll be a people that are prided in the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. If you know God, we will get there. Where a passage that spoke about it says what? It says, when you know God, you will do what? You will do exploits for God. Praise the Lord. When you have a deep understanding, and even Paul, when Paul was writing, Paul says what? And that's actually the second passage we are going to read as our theme. That is Philippians chapter 3, verses. We're going to read from 2 to 7. The first 7 spoke about that, but I was interested in 2 and 2 to 7 because it laid some interesting background. Praise the Lord. Excuse me. So let's quickly go to Philippians chapter 3. 3, 2 to 7. If you are there, you can help us. Seven, sir. Thank you, sir. Now, let's take it to 9. Then you stop at 9. Then we build upon it. Let's take it to 9. Thank you very much, sir. Yeah. Now, why I wanted us to read those from verses 2 to 9, was for us to lay a background. And the background in which I wanted to lay is the background, you see, when Paul was writing, he was talking about a category first of a people. That is verses 2 and 3. A category of people. Maybe for emphasis again, I'll go back again. It says, we should beware of them. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the circumcision. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God. Now, there is a people which Paul was trying to warn us about. And these people, they are still pervasive in the world today. People who, by reason of the fact that they have lost touch, or rather who don't have a deep understanding of the Word of God, or who perhaps chooses to, even despite, or who actually have an understanding of the Word of God, but who have actually chosen to actually lay their own understanding. Praise the Lord. The Bible is saying here, or Paul was actually telling you and me here, he said what? Be careful of them. In fact, if you go deep again, he was actually saying that we should come out among them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then he now spoke about the fact that for him, because he had actually a good understanding of God, that these are the choices he had made. He was able to do a lot of things. He was able to do exploits for God. He was able to, he was actually able to go through some hardship because he knew the God he serve. Hallelujah. Now, when you don't take that in hold and then you don't move to verse 10, that verse 10 now said, he said what? He said, this is my prayer for us. And Paul was praying. And what did he pray here? What was his prayer he prayed in verse 10? Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Now, when Paul was writing, having said all these things, having warned us of the people and the evil in the world, he now went further to say, look, for me, because I have known God, because I know and have experienced the power of his resurrection, I was able to do exploit for God. Hallelujah. Church, is there anyone in this house today who want to do exploit for God? If you want to do exploit for God, you must do what? You must know God. Hallelujah. And how do you know God? That might be the next question you want to be asking yourself. You know God by doing what? By being a child of this Bible. Hallelujah. As a church, we thank God for our grace. The pastor was telling us about the fact that we have to review our bookshop. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is because as a church, we have made up our mind that we are sold out to knowing God, to knowing God. And the thing about God is this. I've discovered that God is a very, 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 you know, God is. I can't help but sometimes to reason that the God we serve is a God that, you know, you can't satisfy God. Hallelujah. Because I noticed that the more you go with God, don't quote me out of context. Hallelujah. I'm not saying you can satisfy God. Hallelujah. But the point I'm trying to make here is this, that the more you go with God, the more he calls you. Hallelujah. As soon as you think you have arrived with God, he now opens you again. You say, God is so deep that you cannot get all of him. Hallelujah. So that means that for you and me, you can't know God all. Because the more you know him, the more you know him, the more you know him, the more you know him. No wonder the Bible talking about the fact that God is what? He's an infinite. You can't. He's inexhaustible. You cannot reach. You can't attain unto his highest. Hallelujah. Because it's higher than the what? The highest. Praise the Lord. The interesting thing is that the God we know and the God we serve, because it's higher than the highest, it means, for example, that you and me, we cannot exhaust his resources. You cannot exhaust it. You cannot exhaust his resources. And when you look at him, if you really want to know God again, you just beckon a little bit and look at creation. Look at the world we live. Look at the fact that for you and me, as a human being, I mean, especially thank God we have a lot of doctors who are very familiar with what actually makes up a human being. You cannot but be confounded by the awe of the wonders of God's creation. Hallelujah. I've said it over and over again, and I'm still going to say it today, that every time, for me, the starting point of me realizing the power of God is actually the what? The universe. The fact that there is a big spinning ball, spinning, and it's been spinning for years and years, and it has never spun out of control. Hallelujah. You know the big ball I'm talking about? That is our own heart. Hallelujah. The geographers made us to see that the earth is spherical in space. Hallelujah. That means spherical. It's not a perfect ball. Hallelujah. It's not a perfect ball. So that means, because if it's a perfect ball, then that means that at least it will be able to spin better. Hallelujah. But it's not perfect, because from what we gathered, I learned that there is a tilting somewhere. But even despite that, it is rotating and it is spinning. And yet, since it's been spinning for ages, it has never spun out of space. It's still spinning. Hallelujah. Sometimes I can't help but to look at it. I say, there is a force somewhere that is holding it. The scientists may want us, they come up with the theory of the force of gravity. Hallelujah. And then you begin to say, gravity, what is gravity? Praise the Lord. If it is based on their, since some of us are standing, because for me, I want to believe that we are standing on something, right? Ordinarily, if you are standing on something, wouldn't we fall down? Wouldn't we have fallen away? But we are not falling. We are not falling. For me, that is the beginning of the power of God. The fact that let's seek this God. Let's seek this God. And then when we seek God, we'll be able to look at the treasures of heaven. We'll look at the treasures of heaven that it is actually placed at the disposal of each and every one of us. Praise the Lord. When God created us, one of the reasons he created you and me for is for you to know him. And when you know him, you'll be able to relate with him. That was when he created Adam and Eve. You see, in the evening, you know, because God, he revels in his creation. He walks majestically. And then he looks, because he wanted to actually have a relationship. He assumed a relationship with Adam and Eve, and he was walking in the garden. Unfortunately, not knowing that Adam and Eve have lost it. Hallelujah. But the original purpose was that, like God, when he's, you know, in his glorious, and he goes there in the evening, had them, my creation, Eve, how are you? And then they will begin to walk together, hallelujah, in awesome mightiness of God. But unfortunately, Adam lost it. And that is why you and me, we are here today. But again, even having lost it, he still made it possible for you and me to actually walk our way back to him through his son, Jesus Christ, who came to atone for you. Hallelujah. And then when he created us, when you really want to know this God we are talking about, a passage spoke about it. Then he says that if we believe in and we do what he says we do, he says what? He says signs and wonders, we do what? We follow us. Hallelujah. So that means that we are, like it says, he said, my children, they are for what? They are for signs and they are for wonders. That when we were actually created, after, if we are able to walk our way back even unto God, even after we are able to actually know the God we serve, that as we go, signs and do what? And wonders, we follow us. Hallelujah. You know what? And I can't help but to remember that. What does God mean by when he said that signs and wonders will follow us? And then I look at that kind of a thing that happened when Jesus was walking by that fig tree. And as soon as he saw the fig tree, and he couldn't see any fruit in it. And he says, look, nothing will come out of it. He didn't actually look at it, hallelujah. In fact, he didn't think about it. Until the following day when they were coming back, when they come back, and what happened to the fig tree? The fig tree had withered. And then when the fig tree withered, that was when the disciples said, Jesus, this thing you spoke to about Jesus, and Jesus just looked and shook his head. Because, you know why he shook his head? Because because apparently he realized that his disciples didn't know the kind of person he was. Or they were. What it was. That is the thing, kind of thing you and me are supposed to be. Hallelujah. That when you are going up in the morning, and probably somebody met you on the way, and you just smile, and you look at him, and say, good morning. You say, God bless you. God bless you. And the following day, the life that you just said, God bless you, is transformed. That is the kind of a thing. That is the kind of thing God wants you to do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That you are going in the morning. Perhaps, maybe, you just see somebody who is a derelict, a drug addict, who has actually lost it. And then you look and you talk, this drug you are taking is not good. Do you know that God can transform you? And problems, he's even arguing with you. He's arguing with you. He says, I don't believe in your God. There is no God. You say, well, I have a word for you today. Just like Paul and Silas did, hallelujah. When they met that beggar, that beggar perhaps didn't even know God. All he wanted was just something to eat, what he needs to eat. And then he spoke. I said, please, can you give me some money? And Paul said, well, sorry, I don't have money. But what I have, I will give to you. Hallelujah. And there was a transformation in the life of that beggar. Hallelujah. That is the realm that God wants you and me to be in. Especially in this land. Because it's a land, for example, where they can take a lot for granted. Hallelujah. When you compare this land to where we come from, yes. Where we come from, we have to struggle for everything. Hallelujah. So we can't take a lot for granted. Praise the Lord. If you want to talk about that, we know I can direct you to somebody. You can't take anything for granted. But here you can take a lot for granted. Hallelujah. And that is the problem. But it's not a problem. So, which means, because they can take a lot for granted, but there are still challenges, brethren. Cancer, for example, is ravaging the land. Hallelujah. Cancer is ravaging the land. People are losing their lost one. And that is not supposed to be. If we are really a people that really know God, and we can do exploit for God, we will speak to cancer, and cancer will run. Hallelujah. You will speak to drug addicts, and addictions will follow. They will take a flight. Praise the Lord. You will speak to brokenheartedness, and people will receive the peace of God. That is what the Bible was talking about when it says, when you know your God, you will do exploit for God. Praise the Lord. There are very good examples of people who really knew God. Elijah and Elisha were good examples who demonstrated that they really know the God we are serving. Abraham is a very good one too. And in fact, it was recognized to him because they had faith in God. He said, he did it. He said, he walked with God. He had a relationship with God. Praise the Lord. If you look at the pattern God is dealing with us at his church, about 2 weeks ago, Justin ministered to us about the essence, of our being, about the fact that we're going to leave some of these little things and begin to come above these things. You will know that it is because God has a purpose for us. It is because God is expecting us. He's arranging a plan and a purpose for us as a church. And the climax of that purpose is that we will now come out as a people who are above God, who knows their God. Because when you really know your God, then you will, if you know God, you will know, for example, that God is a holy God. You know, if you know your God, you know that sin has no part in the realm of holiness. And when we are talking about sins now, we're not even talking about the obvious one. Just like a passage, I can't remember the passage. When Paul was telling it, he said, look, brethren, let's leave the, let's leave the elementaries. I can't really remember where it is now in the Bible. I would have read it now. Maybe a child of the Bible can help us. When Paul was telling the church, say, hey, church, let us leave the elementaries now. Begin to aspire into greater things of God. When you are talking about the obvious things, yes, adultery, yes, I know now. After everyone is looking at us, so we won't go into adultery. Hallelujah. Murder, you know that if we murder, the law will deal with you anyway. So if you go and kill somebody, you know that the law will deal with you. Even if God is not going to, even if God is looking at you, you know that the law will deal with you. Hallelujah. But what about those ones, you know? Unfortunately, that is the bane of Christianity. Hypocrisy. You wake up in the morning and you use somebody. Help, God bless you, my brother. And as soon as you turn your back, you say, we know we still do it, isn't it? You say, you just see somebody coming. I say, God bless you, brother. Hey, hallelujah. And as soon as the brother turns, he's there. Like, you know, those are the things that matter. Praise the Lord. Or is it malice? Somebody offends you. No, I can never forgive him. Hallelujah. And then you begin to carry it all around. That is what God is saying to you. Or when the Holy Spirit is specifically telling you to do things for God, and you are turning away from him. Those are the things. Those are the things we are talking about. When things of God for us are relegated to the background. When things of God becomes, when you don't have anything to do, that is when you remember that you need to go to church. Hallelujah. When you are bored, that is when you can think, oh yeah. For me, or even for you, reading the Bible, that is a problem. Unfortunately, people who know their God, like Paul was, God was their primary. Hallelujah. It is after God that any other thing can come from. It is time for church. Yes, they are there. It is time for evangelism. Oh, yes, they are number one there. Praise the Lord. Because it is only when your heart is after God, like David was. David spoke about himself. He says what? He says his heart did what? He panted after the things of God. Hallelujah. That was when David was so much carried away by God that he was dancing for God one day to the point that his robes were, and he even didn't remember that he wasn't wearing anything. Hallelujah. Church, that is the glorious nature. That is the glorious things that God wants us to do. He wants us to be a people that are really what? That are sold out to him. Like I always say, for me, when I speak, it is always the mirror. It is always an opportunity for me to look at myself. But again, even as I look at myself and I know that I'm far wanting in things of God. But just like Paul says, he says what? He says it's yesterday's word. He's counted them as dung. And I say, and I believe, and I know that somebody is there here, even this morning again. He's going to say, for him, what he has done yesterday doesn't matter. But from today, it's going to change. Hallelujah. It's going to be a people that knows his God. Praise the Lord. Like I said, Abraham demonstrated a good example of somebody who knows his God. And that was when the Bible recorded to him as what? As a friend of God. What did Isaiah chapter 41 verse 8 say? If you are there, please read for us. Praise the Lord. The Bible recorded it that Abraham was God's friend. How many of us can the Bible really say today that we are definitely God's friend? Praise the Lord. That we are truly God's friend. Praise the Lord. You know what a friend is? You know, I mean, all of us, we have our friends. We have our heartly friends. Yeah. You know what your friend is? That was the kind of relationship that Abraham had with God. Because he knows God. He knows that God is a reliable friend. He knows that when he turns to him, 24/7, like one of my friends will always say, God will always answer him. But you see, unfortunately for us, there are no shortcuts to some of these realities. Because it is only when we do these things that we can really take on the fullness of God. Praise the Lord. It is only when we do those things that the fullness of God, that we can really demonstrate. You see, the problem with us is this. Like the says in my language, kogbono kotutu. You know? And unfortunately, in you see, when it says kogbono kotutu, it's like we were neither cold nor hot. Hallelujah. And God spoke in Revelation. He said what? He said very soon he's going to do what? He will spawn us out. He will throw you out. Praise the Lord. I didn't say God says it. And I believe it might be prophetic. It says that he had been patient enough with you. He had thought that you are going to hurt. You know what I mean? If you are cold, at least we know you are cold. After all, it doesn't have anything to do with you anyway. But when you are warm, you are useless for him. And yet you are occupying a seat. Hallelujah. You are occupying a seat in his tabernacle. But he's saying that he's going to throw you out. That might be prophetic for somebody here. God is calling on you to be hot for him. That he's tired of your warmness. He's tired of your lukewarmness. That he wants you to be hot for him. The option is this. Like I always say, the cold one, it won't be anybody's offering. Hallelujah. Nobody is going to go cold in this church in the mighty name of Jesus. The only option we have is that what? We're going to get hot for God. We're going to take on the full and the whole hammer of God. Praise the Lord. And even as we do that, God will help us in Jesus' name. In 1 Corinthians chapter 20:7 again, it affirmed and it attested to the exemplary character of Abraham, our father. Praise the Lord. If you know God, your affection will be on God. There will be no any other affection. Nothing. No distractions. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6:5. If you are there, you can read for us, please. What happened is I can't read my little Bible anymore, and unfortunately, this one is slow in responding to me. Deuteronomy chapter 6:5. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, you can read it again for us to hear as well.
And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, ma'am. That is the Bible here. It says what? You must love everything about you must be concentrated on God. The question is, let us be honest with ourselves. Or rather, the challenge for you and me is this. I want you to ask yourself, or maybe you should ask your neighbor, do you really love your God with all your strength and all your heart? Hallelujah. Just ask your neighbor that. I'm probably giving him a very honest question. And then maybe you can do it. Husband and wife is even better. Praise the Lord. Ask yourself. Ask your neighbor. Unfortunately, I'm not sitting close to my wife. That do you really love the Lord with all your strength and all your heart? It's an honest question. Ponder about it. Think about these things. We are not getting the best out of God. We are not getting the best out of God. Because what actually spawns my heart to some of these things is this. I come across challenges in life. And I began to ask questions. I said, just like Gideon did. I said, God, I've read it. I've heard it. In fact, I've experienced it before. Of your greatness. Of the sort of miracles you do in people's lives. of people who speak the word. Hallelujah. I can't, every time I remember the experience of Paul and Silas. When they were going and somebody came to them and said, give me money. He said, sorry, I don't have money, but what I have, I'll give to you. Receive your side. Oh, Paul! When they had, was it a shipwreck or something? And they were, you know, they were in an island. And he was smitten. Rather, he was beaten by a snake. And he didn't even look at the thing. He was busy doing what he was doing. And then, they look, and people around him look at him, ah, surely this is a god. That this man was the, because they naturally expected the man to die. But he, praise the Lord. That, and I began to ask that question. I said, God, but if these things are true and you are real, then where is the problem? And God opened my eyes to see. He says what? He says, if you know your God, you will do exploits for me. I'm just trying to give you a background to how this message came about. He says, if you know your God, you will do exploits for me. And I said, hey, God, so how do I know you? Then I began to say, eh, okay. And then I realized, for example, that if you want to rate me, if you put a rating measure about how more I know this God, church, I must tell you the truth. I'm not very sure like I scored up to 20%. Then I said, ah, okay. Then I can see where, for example, common headache. My son was having headache yesterday. And he said, I'm having headache. And again, I just remember, I said, ah, if I truly know my God, all I need to do is to say, headache, get out. And then that headache will not have a choice. To do what? To go away. But here I am. I have to begin to look at my wife. Say, what can we do about this thing? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, that is life. The Bible says, if you know God, you will do what? You will do exploit for him. Then I say, there you go. Or even at my place of work. I was working with somebody yesterday, and he was telling me about the tumor he's going through. And the conclusion was that he had this complex of what I call inferiority complex. We could see it is because, you know, that is not good, that is a void in his life. Unfortunately, I cannot even preach Christ to him. Hallelujah. Or is it somebody again? I was working with him and I wanted to share Christ with him or her. And then, because we were talking, it's a woman. One of my people I work with, she's a woman. We were talking. She was telling me about her problem, there and this and that. And I said, oh yeah, here I will go. This is an opportunity to share Christ with her. And as soon as I talked about Christ, hey, don't talk about your God. You know, yeah. He says, don't talk about religions. Church, I couldn't. In that instance, all you need is to demonstrate the realness of God. You understand? And she won't have any dark choice. It's either she believes or what? She believes, like I always say. But because I know that, probably I don't know my God, so I can't do exploit for him. So as soon as she said, don't talk about, she said, don't talk about man-made religions. Praise the Lord. Because as far as she's concerned, Christianity is one of the man-made religions. You understand? When she said, yes, now I remember very well. She said, no, don't tell me about any man-made religions. All I needed to do was to show her a God-made religion. Hallelujah. Or rather, don't let me say God-made religion, but a religion. Oh, no, okay, don't let us use the religion. All I needed to do was to show her the way of life. But there is no way I can show her the way of life without demonstrating the power in that way of life, which, church, I can't, because I don't know my God. What am I saying here? I'm saying it's a moment of reckoning for you and me to go back to the basic and begin to know our God so that we can do exploits for him. And God will help us in Jesus' name. When you know your God, your affection will be upon the instructions and the commandments of God. You will guide God's rule jealously. And when you look at Psalm 19, verse 8 to 10, Psalm 19, verse 8 to 10, it spoke about it. That your affection will be, having set your affections on God himself, The next stage is we set your affection on His commandment, on His instructions, on His precepts. If you are there, you can read for us. Psalm 19, verses, we read 8 and 10.
Bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, man. I love that translation. Hallelujah. It says what? Look at it. It says the laws of the world, the commandments of God are so sweet. They are even sweeter than what? They are honey. Hallelujah. When you look at the laws, they are so fair. They are so, when you're talking about something fair and balanced, they are the commandments of God. Praise the Lord. They are so balanced. They are so fair. They are so sweet that you can actually set your affection upon them. And anyone has to do that. If you do that, your life, yeah, you see, there will be, because it will, you see, it says it's like joy. We no wonder we spoke about joy this morning. And when somebody was actually reading, you know, it comes within, it flows within. I must tell you here again, that apart from those ones that are really set in the Bible, you can really see a very good example anymore on this earth. Praise the Lord. But I can be an example. Tell your neighbor you can be an example. When you look at the world we are in today, I must tell you, church, that I hardly could see anybody anymore that could challenge my faith anymore. That could challenge me. I say, yes, this one is there. There will always be some corners. But when you look at men of the Bible, when you take the cases of people like Paul, you take the people, you can't help but to say, yeah, these are people that are there. Hallelujah. That 100%. The laws of God is sweet for them. And they are sold out to keeping it. And that is why their life, people were able to do it. They are busy doing exploits for God. Because I can tell you too, there are quite a lot of people who seem to be doing it, might actually be doing it, you know, for different motivations. But if you are truly doing it, the Bible says, it says what? For those who do it, that what? It says signs and wonders, we do what? We follow them. That was when the early apostles, when they went to the field, they were surprised. Because when they came back to Jesus, what did they tell Jesus? They said, Jesus, we can't believe this. That even demons were hearing us, they were obeying us. Hallelujah. They didn't know. They didn't really believe what happened to them. Because when they give an instruction, it's happened. They will do this and the thing will follow through. So it is possible. But like I said, what inspired this message this morning was when I thought about Gideon. When Gideon looked back, he said, but God, we've heard about stories. We've heard the stories about how you did great exploit for your children and you led them from the land of captivity into land of deliverance. But all we see now is pain and anguish. That I can't. And God says what? Those who know their God will do what? They will do exploits for Him. Church, it is my message to you this morning that just like me, who is beginning to ask questions about the essence of this, I even call it Christianity. That we are. And God said, those who know their God will do what? We do exploits to Him. And therefore, because God said that to me, I believe and I know He's saying that to somebody here again. That if you know Him, you will do exploit for Him. Are you ready to know God? Are you ready to know God? Then get up and let's stand up. Let's stand up on our feet. Let's stand up on our feet. As for me and my house, I've decided, and like I said, when Paul wrote, despite all his accomplishments, despite all the things he had thought he had done, for me, I may not have accomplished much for God. For me, I may have made so many mistakes in my walk with him. But just like Paul said, he said, from 1250 backward to the year I was born, I count them as dung. Also, not 1250, from maybe about 1105 of this day to this day, I count them as dung. I erase them out of my life, and I say, from now, I'm setting out on adventure. I'm setting out on adventure of knowing God, because I will do exploit for him. If you are like that, why don't you raise up your hand even as our eyes are closed? I'm not looking at you. But I believe I have a God. I have a Father who sees the heart of man, and who is here even this morning, and he's seeing us. And he's seeing that there is a cry from within us that we want to know God. I want your hands, let your hand be up. Because God is going to see that hand. I know that God is going to see her hand. And even as your hand is up, begin to tell God, say, God, I want to know you. Just talk to him. Say, God, from the deepest part of your heart, tell him, God, I want to know you. God, I want to know you. Let it be your cry this afternoon. Let it be your cry that, God, I want to know you. Let it be your cry. When you want to know God, if you know God, you will not sin. You will run away from sins. You will run away from those things that easily oppose that. You will run away from those things that easily beget. You just say, God, I want to know you. God, I want to know you. My Father, I want to know you. Behold, I want to know you. And even as you are praying, you're going to tell God, I say, God, everything that is standing in the way of my knowledge of you, every of those things that are pulling me down, by the power of your might, oh God, take them away, Lord. Lord, deal with them. I don't know if there is anyone here this morning who actually know to sing that song again. That song that says that I may know you. Maybe you should come and help me to sing that song. Is there anyone here who knows that song that says that I may know you? That I may know you. Yes, Lord. Amen. That I may know him and know the power of his resurrection. Lord our God, that is the cry of your people this morning. But just like Paul prayed, we are praying even this morning that God, that we will know you. And therefore, Lord, we are asking today, when you reveal yourself unto Paul, Paul's life was transformed. And therefore, this afternoon again, we are asking that God reveal yourself to us again in this day. In the mighty name of Jesus. I said, Lord, reveal yourself again to us in the mighty name of Jesus. So that our life will be transformed. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just like we know that today is actually the first Sunday of the first Sunday of the month, and that we know God. People who know God, they worship God, and they worship in the house of God. If you read Psalm 26, verse 9, or 27, verse 4, maybe you just read Psalm 27, verse 4. Thank you very much. It says that we dwell in the house of the Lord and behold the beauty of our God. Hallelujah. In beholding the beauty of our God, we're going to appreciate Him. So today we are going to, just like we've always been doing, because this is the first Sunday of the month, we're going to do our usual thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And in thanksgiving, we are not really talking about substances or money now. We are talking about our heart to worship God, to appreciate God. So why the choir comes out again to sing and dance before God. We want people to dance. Well, let's dance. Let's dance. As even as we give your offering, let's dance. Let's dance like David danced. Because we know God. And we know that it is only God that is keeping us safe and sound. And we know that because He's keeping us safe and sound, He will keep us through. He will see us through the end of this year. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Let us all be on our feet.
We really want to thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We really want to thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We really want to thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We really want to thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Our Father and our God, we want to thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
We bless your holy name again because we know you are a kind God. You are a merciful God.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord God, for the month January. We bless your holy name again for February. And we know that greater things we do in this month March. And therefore, as your children, we say, be thou exalted in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, behold, your people have given again in appreciation and in thanks in your holy name. God, accept this offering in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
That even as you accept this offering, O Lord, every hand that has dropped anything into this offering bag, O God, you will bless in millionfold return in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know where it pains. You know where it hurts. We're just asking that God, the balm of Gilead, will touch those areas in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
We bless your holy name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Even as we close for this week, oh God, we ask that to go with us back to our various homes in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
That God, you will keep us safe. You will keep us sound.
Amen.
And at the end of it, oh Father, your name will be glorified.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Jesus.
In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Shall we share the grace of fellowship?
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The love of God.
The
sweet fellowship of the
Holy Spirit.
Be with us now and forevermore.
Amen.
Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and evermore.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are hills, we are hills, we are hills of the Father, of the Father. We are joy, we are joy there with the song. Amen. We are children of the King, of the Kingdom. We we are here.
learn to talk.